just depending on how much work there is. For example, the apartment guy that we're working with, we basically it is a really simple deal. So we basically combine it all into this, because integrating the USP really only consisted of doing two things, and that was, one, teaching their salespeople what to say on the phone and rewriting their classified newspaper ads. So it really wasn't a big deal that we felt we could, you know, charge a whole other project fee for. So we just included it here, and, you know, they're going to be real happy with that. So anyway, those are the four steps, and that's what you take. That's what you'll be doing the first 4 weeks that you're working with your client. So let's take about a 5-minute break, and then we'll come back and learn how to do those. Okay. All right, let's talk about how we actually implement this project, okay? How we actually implement the USP project. Now, the first step, step one on page 13, is to conduct the focus group with the owner and the staff. And the purpose of this is to, again, try to gain their perspective and figure out why they feel that their business is unique and what their strengths and weaknesses really are. Now, I tell you, there's a couple of other really unique things about this, doing this meeting, and part of the reason why it's the first thing that you do is because by getting the staff and the employer and everybody together and going through this, it really gets everybody kind of on board with you, all right? And it really can pump up the whole deal. Many times, you know, I've given this session away free as a sales tool. Do not be afraid to do that, all right? In other words, tell the guy, you know, if he's kind of thinking, oh, gosh, I don't know, it sounds good, but I'm just not sure, da-da-da-da. Say, well, listen, why don't we set up a time for you and your staff? We'll all get together, and we'll go through this, we'll do it. And, you know, if at the end of this meeting, and in this first meeting, you don't feel like there's anything valuable going on here and you don't feel like this is a worthwhile process, then, hey, I'll just leave and that'll be the end. But if you feel like it's been valuable and you feel like we're on the right track and feel like there's positive things happening, then, you know, go ahead and pay me the fee and we'll continue on. I've done that several times. I guarantee you never once have they ever not gone ahead with the rest of it, if you do it right, okay? Because they're going to be so excited and they're going to be really, you know, on track with what you're doing here. Now, if you are going to do it that way, if you're going to do it as part of the sales process, I will want to suggest to you that you do it maybe a little bit more than what you would do in a typical focus group session here. What I always typically do is I'll go in and do a little training initially, and I'll teach them about USP, basically just going over the same things I've just taught you, okay, about price leadership, differentiation, focus, and the importance of having that in your business, and maybe also talk about the three ways to grow the business and actually go through the little matrix on the board with the staff and the owner and everybody and teach them about how they can grow the business and why that's also important. Then go into the USP session. If you do that, then you can really kind of get everybody excited and get them on track. So don't be afraid to use that as a sales tool. Don't be afraid to go in and do this as a free service to get the deal, because you'll almost invariably you're going to get it. All right?
I bet you're starting out, if they're hesitant at all, you can make it almost a better than risk-free guarantee. I'll come in and spend an hour and a half with you. If you don't think it's worth it, well,
yeah, that's right. And see, I even prepare. Well, here's one I did for the travel agency. I prepared a little workbook, you know, that we actually used in that USP session. Okay, it's a little introduction about what we're going to do, and taught about three ways to grow the business. Went through the matrix with them. Okay, taught them about USP. Talked about how we were going to develop the USP, and then we went through the creative brainstorming process. So week three will be to do the competitive analysis. And then number four, step four, week four, is to write that all up. Write it up and present it. And depending on the complexity of the situation, we might also say, integrate the USP. Now, the integration of the USP into the overall marketing may be a separate project in itself. That may actually take place more in Project 2, just depending on how much work there is. For example, the apartment guy that we're working with, we basically it's a really simple deal, so we basically combined it all into this, because integrating the USP really only consisted of doing two things, and that was, one, teaching their salespeople what to say on the phone and rewriting their classified newspaper ads. So it really wasn't a big deal that we felt we could, you know, charge a whole other project fee for. So we just included it here, and, you know, they're going to be real happy with that. So anyway, those are the four steps, and that's what you take. That's what you'll be doing the first 4 weeks that you're working with your client. So let's take about a 5-minute break, and then we'll come back and learn how to do those. Okay. All right, let's talk about how we actually implement this project, okay? How we actually implement the USP project. Now, the first step, step one on page 13, is to conduct a focus group with the owner and the staff. And the purpose of this is to, again, try to gain their perspective and figure out why they feel that their business is unique and what their strengths and weaknesses really are. Now, I tell you, there's a couple of other really unique things about this, doing this meeting, and part of the reason why it's the first thing that you do is because by getting the staff and the employer and everybody together and going through this, it really gets everybody kind of on board with you, all right? And it really can pump up the whole deal. Many times, you know, I've used this. I've given this, actually given this session away free as a sales tool. Do not be afraid to do that, all right? In other words, tell the guy, you know, if he's kind of thinking, oh, gosh, I don't know, it sounds good, but I'm just not sure, da-da-da-da. Say, well, listen, why don't we set up a time for you and your staff? We'll all get together, and we'll go through this, we'll do it, and, you know, if at the end of this meeting, end of this first meeting, you don't feel like there's anything valuable going on here, and you don't feel like this is a worthwhile process, then, hey, I'll just leave, and that'll be the end. But if you feel like it's been valuable, and you feel like we're on the right track, and feel like there's positive things happening, then, you know, go ahead and pay me the fee, and we'll continue on. I've done that several times. I guarantee you never once have they ever not gone ahead with the rest of it, if you do it right, okay? Because they're going to be so excited, and they're going to be really, you know, on track with what you're doing here. Now, if you are going to do it that way, if you're going to do it as part of the sales process, I will want to suggest to you that you do it maybe a little bit more than what you would do in a typical focus group session here. What I always typically do is I'll go in and do a little training initially, and I'll teach them about USP, basically just going over the same things I've just taught you, okay, about price leadership, differentiation, focus, and the importance of having that in your business, and maybe also talk about the three ways to grow the business and actually go through the little matrix on the board with the staff and the owner and everybody and teach them about how they can grow the business and why that's also important. Then go into the USP session. If you do that, then you can really kind of get everybody excited and get them on track. So don't be afraid to use that as a sales tool. Don't be afraid to go in and do this as a free service to get the deal, because you'll almost invariably you're going to get it. All right?
Especially starting out. If they're hesitant at all, you can make it almost a better than risk-free guarantee. I'll come in and spend an hour and a half with you. If you don't think it's worth it,
yeah, that's right. And see, I even prepare. Well, here's one I did for the travel agency. I prepared a little workbook, you know, that we actually used in that USP session. Okay, it's a little introduction about what we're going to do, and taught them about three ways to grow the business. Went through the matrix with them. Okay, taught them about USP. Talked about how we were going to develop the USP, and then we went through the creative brainstorming process. So, now, I did this because this guy was paying me a little bit more for the project than typical, so I did a little bit more, you know, work with it and whatnot. But if you're going to do it as a sales tool, I would suggest that you maybe prepare a little handout like this that you can give to everybody and do some teaching along the same time that you're doing the actual interview process, okay? And so anyway, page 13, focus group with the owner and staff. There's two objectives here. Number one, to educate them about the concept and importance of USP. That's why I used the little workbook. Number two, to gain their perception on what they feel their competitive strengths really are. This meeting should last about 1.5 to 2 hours. Now, I've had clients in the past where I've done this, and I've set it up as, well, let me do it for you at no charge, and if you like it, you know, we'll see, blah, 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 blah. And I'll say, well, I can only give you 45 minutes. Okay, fine, 45 minutes. Well, you go in, and I remember this last one I did, he said, you have 45 minutes. Well, 2 hours later, it was me that was trying to get away, okay? Because they were so excited and so into this thing. So, again, guys, the point is just go in and get started with it. At the beginning of the meeting, explain the objective. Spend a few minutes discussing the concept of USP and why it's important to their business. Then begin by asking the question, why do people do business with you? You can follow a series of guided questions. Now, we've given you some questions here we'll go over in just a second, okay? This will help keep the meeting focused and on track. Now, your purpose, again, is to gain their perspective. Here are some other tools I would suggest that will help you in doing this meeting. First, designate someone to take notes and have them write down all of the ideas presented, okay? You can narrow those down later. Now, why do you think it would be a good idea to designate someone to take notes, other than the fact that you're going to get all the information recorded? Why else? What else does it do for you?
Keep your mind focused on meeting and listening.
Okay, you can keep your mind focused. What else does it do, though, for them?
Keep them involved.
Gets them involved. Right, Ben. Exactly. Gets them involved and makes them feel a part of the whole process. Second point, and this is a very important one, keep the meeting positive. Don't let it turn into a gripe and complain session. And a lot of times when you're, you know, in a situation like this and you're talking about these kinds of things, it may have a tendency to go that direction. Don't let it, all right? You want to keep it positive. You want to keep it uplifting. You want to keep it focused on the good things and not on the bad, because then everybody's going to get mad and it's going to be a bad deal, okay? Stay in control. And then you, what is it Richard says? And then you dry up and die, or
wither,
dry up, and die. You'll be dying on the vine in your USP focus meeting. Number three, stay in control and keep the meeting on track. Now, here are some sample questionnaires. Oh, and by the way, I always review these with the group, too, before I start. I will tell them, I say, listen, I'm going to be here to keep the meeting on track. So, you know, that's going to be my job, is to keep us focused. Number two, it's your job to make sure that you don't turn this into a gripe and complain session. So no criticizing of anybody else or anybody else's ideas, okay? Just lay that out as a ground rule at the beginning, and it will help you to, you know, eliminate some of those problems. All right, on page 14, questionnaire outline for this session. First of all, who do you want to have at this meeting? Who should be at this meeting?
Staff and owners.
Okay, what if the staff is very large? Okay, or you could even break it up into, now most of the companies that you're going to be dealing with, if you're staying within our target group, okay, you know, 100,000 to 5 million in sales, most of them are not going to have, you know, hundreds of people. But you, there may be instances where you may have to maybe do two sessions, where you'll have to do part of the group one time and a different part another time, because they can't all get away or get together at the same time. You'll also find that you're going to have to, in many cases, schedule these sessions outside of regular business hours. You may be doing them first thing in the morning. You may be doing them in the afternoon after the business closes, when they can all get together. Because during the day, they can't all necessarily get away. So don't be afraid to do that. So you want to have everybody there. You want to have as many as possible, from the owner, the secretaries, the salespeople, the production people, the accounting, whoever it might be. And it should last about an hour and a half to 2 hours. But be flexible, okay? I mean, if you're getting some really good things happening there, then, you know, don't be afraid to go ahead and continue on with the meeting. I don't think I've ever done one of these, though, that's gone more than probably an hour and a half, 2 hours. Have you, Richard? No, you should be able to get everything done that you need to do. Here are some sample questions. Now, these questions on page 14A, these are just samples. These are just kind of idea starters. These are things to kind of get the juices flowing and get the group involved. And the way I always typically started out is I just start out by asking, say, tell me, why should I do business with your company? You know, and then let's start getting some feedback and getting, you know, all their perspective. But here are some other questions, you know, that you might explore. Don't feel like you have to go through all of these. Don't feel like it, you know, it's not an interrogation here where you have to answer all these questions or anything else. These are just some questions that you can use as kind of idea starters. Is there unique expertise? Does time in business have an advantage? Is there any staffing that has a unique ability? What's the marketing message? Is there uniqueness in any pricing, quality, selection, and so on? Okay? So use these questions and customize it as you need to. Again, it's not a matter of having to go through and answer all of these or, you know, anything else, but you just want to get them talking and find out what their perspectives are. And write it all down. I usually have, you know, like I say, designate one person in the group to take notes, then provide me with a written copy of those notes after we're finished. Did one for this travel guy. I don't know where they are, but anyway. And then you can use that to help you design your customer survey, which is going to be the next step, and to help, you know, determine what is the information that you want to try to gather out of that. So that's pretty much, that's pretty cut and dried. It's pretty easy. It's a fun session to do. It's, you know.
Did you come up with the USB that night?
No. I mean,
it's basically a brainstorming session. You want to come up with their perspective.
Yeah.
Okay. And you always remind them. Now say, listen, you may be, this may be it, maybe not. We're going to talk to customers, and then we're going to look at the competition, and we'll then resolve it.
Okay. So, but you would end that by saying, well, you know, from the results of this meeting, it would appear that your perception of the USB is...
For example.
94 or 5 different...
Right.
Okay. Yeah. You see, for example, at the apartment community that we did, you know, in our initial meeting, we basically discovered that they felt their USP was the price, the location, and the amenity value that they provided, those three things. Well, when we went out and then did the customer survey, they pretty much verified that. They said that that's pretty much why it was. But again, what we did there was, number one, verified that they were thinking in the right frame. But secondly, that they had not integrated that, they had not marketed that, they had not told people about it. Same thing was pretty much true with this travel guy that I'm working on right now. In the focus meeting, we kind of found out that they thought that some things that, you know, were their guarantee and things like that, but they weren't sure if people knew about it or if people thought that was important or if that's something they should be talking about, but they kind of thought that would be a good edge to take. So when we went back then and designed our customer survey, that was one of the things we wanted to find out was, do you think that this guarantee would be important? Do you know about it to begin with? Okay? So we wanted to go back then and verify it, and then that really is the second step. Step two is doing the customer survey, and the primary purpose for doing that is to validate or not validate what it is that they've told you. And oftentimes you'll find that the customers are going to be saying the same things that you've just heard the owners say. or in some cases they're not. Okay, it's going to be totally different. Okay, but now before we move on to customer survey, are there any questions about the focus group? Is there any questions about how to do that, or why to do it, or when to do it, or who to do it to?
Staff question you as to why they're there.
Oh yeah, well you tell them. I never have. You know, usually they feel
like
they're excited to be part of it. Yeah.
Sometimes you get a boss that says, "Do you want there?" Because the boss wants to feel like they can say what they want to say.
Okay.
And so I've done that. Sometimes the boss, I've held it with him, and I've gone to the staff.
Yeah, great. Okay.
All right, now. Any, you okay with that, Jeff? Any other questions? All right. The second step in the implementation of this project is the customer survey. And, you know, after you have completed the meeting with the owner and staff, you should have a pretty good basic understanding as far as, you know, what the USP or EVP might be for them. But now you want to verify it with their customers. So, you know, remember, one of the things you asked the owner to provide for you when you initially set up this meeting was you wanted him to provide two things for you at this meeting. Do you remember what they were?
List of customers
and
the check.
The check. Okay.
I listed just plan on.
I know. You know, I didn't even expect to get a check this morning because we rescheduled a meeting, but he just says, "Oh, got a check for you." That's great, yeah. So, anyway, you know, you ask him in advance that when you do this meeting, he should come prepared with a list of customers because you're going to want to go back and survey them. Well, how many customers do you want? Well, I typically ask to get a list of 50 to 100. Now, you're not going to call all of them, but if you have 50 to 100, that's going to give you a pretty good base to work from you know, a good choice to work with. So, yeah, that's exactly why you want more than you need. Now, you don't need to call all of them. You don't need to survey everybody. You want to survey enough, though, to get a good idea as far as what's going on. Now, what you're going to find here in a lot of cases, we start doing these surveys, you're going to find people are all going to start pretty much kind of saying the same things. And so you'll see the trends developing, and that's what you want to see. You want to see those trends. And, I mean, you don't need to go out and ask. If you've asked 25 people and 25 out of 25 say that they don't know anything about the guarantee that this company is offering, I probably don't need to go ask another 100 to find out they don't know anything either, okay? So you want to look for those trends. And typically, I guess in most cases you're going to end up surveying probably, I'd say, an average of 25 to 30 people. All right, and in most cases, that's going to give you enough to really give you the kind of indicators that you want. Remember, this survey is not a scientifically correct necessarily, you know, statistically correct, but you're just looking for themes. You're looking for the overall feel as far as how people are feeling about the business and if what the owner and the staff has told you is really the way people think.
Of anything that would sell the USP project, this probably does almost more than any of the others. Oh, you're going to call my customers? Because they've wanted to, they know they need to, and yet if they go to any customer survey company, they're going to pay buco bucks just to get anything done.
Right.
So, Jeff, yeah. You kind of make an assumption that the USP, that the staff, and the owner believe to be their USP really is, and then you're going out then to see what the customers think compared to that?
Well, you could, but really, you know, it's a little bit more open-ended than that in the fact that you're really looking for the customer's opinion. Why did you choose to do business with so-and-so? Why would you do business with them over their competition? What is unique about so-and-so that made you want to go there?
So this part of it is really then pretty independent.
They are independent. Mm-hmm. You want to look at them independently. The most important one of all of them, what do you think it is?
Customer.
What do you think? Of all of these steps, which is most important?
Important to whom?
Important for the establishment of a true USP.
Customers,
right? The customer.
No. Most important is competition.
Really? Oh, okay.
Okay? Because the USP has to be competitor-oriented.
Right, okay.
The customer will take care of his needs anywhere he wants, okay? He'll go to the competitor if he has to get that USP, or he'll go to, you see? Mm-hmm. He'll take care of himself,
yeah, right,
okay?
Right.
That's why the competitor is most important, because if the customer says, this is why I go, and the staff says, this is why we think they come, and they're together, and the competition's doing that,
See,
there's no USP. It totally wipes those two out. Okay.
See, with the apartment deal again, we did the staff meeting and they said, well, people rent here because we're less and blah 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 blah. We did the customer survey and they said, well, yeah, we went there because they were less and there was other things. But then we also, before we said, okay, you need to promote the fact that you are the price leader, we went to all the other apartment communities in that area where people would be shopping and comparing the apartments and found out, are they in fact less?
If they hadn't been, that's right. The first two would have been moved.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah. See, if we'd have gone to all... See, these guys, were renting apartments for $550 a month. If we'd have gone to all the other competitors and they were at $550 or less, then despite what they thought, there's no way we would come out and effectively market, hey, we're the price leader, okay?
Right.
But we found out that, all the other apartment communities were $600 plus, so they in fact are the price leader.
You look at McDonald's, everything they're doing is competitor-oriented. They're watching, make sure they stay ahead of the competition. Customer's going to get what he wants. Don't worry about what the customer wants. He'll get what he wants. What you have to do is fill the void that the competitors aren't filling, so that when the customer wants that, they get it. That's the key. That's why it's most important.
Okay? So, customer survey. It's an informal survey, usually done on the phone. Now, if you cannot get a list of customers, if they don't have a customer list, there are other ways that you can do it. I mean, you can go out and, stand outside of their business and ask people when they come out, okay, why did you go in there? Why did you do business there? All right? So if you can't get a list, there are other ways that you can do that. Initially, you may want to do these surveys yourself, just so that you get a feel for it and an understanding of how it works. Personally, I've never done them. I don't know, Richard, have you done them?
Absolutely.
Okay, Richard has done them. I've always had somebody else do it, okay? I figure.
That's why I am a much better survey taker. I mean, if we were...
Well, now, that's probably not true.
No.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, you can either do it yourself or you could hire someone to do it for you, and either way seems to be okay. But here are some sample questionnaires, and as you will see, these are pretty simple. Now you can get as involved as you need to be involved here, but typically I would say limit it to no more than about half a dozen to a dozen questions at the most. Really, all we're trying to do here is get their perspective on why they do business and where they feel the niche is and what the advantages are. And so it doesn't have to be a very extensive survey. The one I did for the travel agency was a little bit more extensive because we did want to find out a few more things. We wanted to validate that guarantee idea and a few things like that. But all in all, here are, you know, some questions that you, or questionnaires, that you can model your questionnaires after, okay? Page 15A, 15B, 15C. Page 15D, Diamond Rental and Sales. Now, this was a little bit more extensive as of a survey. And, Richard, didn't they do about a bunch of calls on that, or...
When I was charging weekly fees.
Diamond rental.
Yeah.
Yeah. But now you did a lot of surveys on this though, didn't you? Kind of like 102 surveys.
Do you pose as somebody from the company, or? I noticed that Kimberly did the calling here, and she was with Diamond Rentals.
Well, she, I tell you, you know, two schools of thought on that, and you can, you know, work that out with your client. If you have someone, they, you know, they represent themselves being with the company, it has an advantage in the fact that you can position it as, we're following up on customer service, we want to make sure that you're happy, da-da-da-da. So that... You're leveraging an asset there, making customers feel good that hey, this company really is interested in me. Okay, that's one advantage. There's a disadvantage to that, though, in the fact that they may not be as totally honest with you as they would be with somebody that was an objective third party. Okay, so you kind of want to work that out with the client and determine, you know, what exactly is it we want to accomplish.
One client wanted to even see if we could generate a lead from customer service. Okay, and that would be, would you like what you buy? Are you in the market for this in your future?
Oh, yeah.
So you can leverage that survey a lot of ways.
Right.
But those are the pros and cons.
Yeah.
When you guys do that now, when you have a girl to them, and she phones generally, does she say that she's with?
Well, okay. Here's the one she just did for this travel company, okay? And here's how she did that. Hi, my name is, and I'm not calling to sell you anything. We're conducting a customer service survey, and I would like to ask you a few questions. The survey will only take a couple of minutes.
Didn't even say.
See, the client really liked this because he wanted to get an objective viewpoint. See, he was afraid that if it was somebody represented from his company, that people would just say things to make him feel good, or, you know, whatever.
But that becomes apparent here pretty quick, though, doesn't it? Have you ever used TravelZone or CruiseZone?
Well, it becomes apparent that we're interested in finding out more information about that particular company, but it not necessarily mean that she's with that company. See?
I think it would be difficult to say that you're with the company that you really
want. Well, I mean, she could say, I'm calling on behalf of, or... Yeah, yeah, she...
represent yourself
for... Well, yeah, you are. If your client says, go contract somebody to do this for our company.
You are. You're their agent.
Yeah. You're their representative.
And authorized to represent them.
That'd be okay to say that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Uh-huh. See, and in some cases that might be good because again it would maybe help to endear that customer to the company a little bit because they're demonstrating that they're interested in them. Okay. In this case though, we wanted, you know, more of an objective opinion. So she did not identify herself as being with any particular company. Okay. And that line in there, I'm not calling to sell you anything, is, you know, kind of drops their guard too, because yeah, a lot of times they get telemarketers represent themselves as doing a survey, and in reality they end up selling you stuff. Yeah, I'm conducting a survey. When was the last time you had your carpets cleaned? You know, 6 months ago. Well, then you're in need of a new carpet cleaning. Yeah. When would you like us to schedule an appointment? Okay, so yeah, be careful with that. And yeah, it is. How'd that work out with that guy that was generating leads? Who was that? Is that the trout guy?
No, it was heating and air conditioning
guy. Oh, the trout guy was this guy that had canned trout, and it was one of Richard's clients. I see. Okay. All right. So anyway, you know, and guys, when you get to this point and you're ready to start doing this survey, you know, don't be afraid to give us a call if you have questions, you know, about how to design it or put it together or what questions to ask or anything, you know, like that. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Now, on page 15F and G and H, there's just a little write-up here. This is for Diamond Rental Sales and Service. And this just shows, you know, the results of the survey. Now, you can do that or you don't have to do that. Now, this one that was done, because, again, it was a little bit bigger project. There was, you know, 500 calls made, 102 surveys, and so on. I did a pretty extensive write-up for the travel guy because, again, he's paying me, a big fee for this. So make it a little bit more value-oriented than you would the normal situation. I put together, I'm really proud of this write-up I did, if you want to look at that. But that's the results of the survey that we did. But in most cases, you don't need to even do that, okay? You don't even need to really write it up. Like with our apartment guy, we just, you know, kind of wrote up a quick little summary and gave him copies of the surveys and some recommendations and went from there. So you can keep it simple. The only reason I did this one a lot more extensively was, again, because the guy was paying, you know, a much bigger fee, and I wanted him to feel like he was getting some good value for the money. All right, any questions then about the customer surveys? Okay, that's the second week. Now, the third week, or step number three, is the competitive analysis, which is, as Richard said, a very important step in the system here. And what you're doing now is analyzing the competition. See, after you've done the focus group with the staff, and after you've done the customer survey, you should be starting to have some pretty good ideas, in terms of what that USP should be. See, like with my travel agency here, now that we've done the survey and we've done the customer focus group and things, we have a pretty good idea that this guarantee is going to be the way to go, okay? That this is something that is unique, that they do, that's very important to people. People want it, people need it, people like it. But we don't know yet if anybody else has anything like it. So the next step then is going to be to survey the competition and find out if this is something that everybody is offering, then we may want to reevaluate our position. Now, if it's something that everybody is offering but nobody is promoting, just like this guy was, he had it, but he'd never really marketed the darn thing, then, you know, we could be the first to jump out and really market the thing.
My guess is you might find it's not as right. You might call your competitors, oh yeah, we can do it. And so it may need that your client needs to put it more in. Right?
A written guarantee, yeah, yeah. See, which would really then set them apart from everybody else. Yeah, absolutely. So what we want to do then is shop the competition, just like when we were doing this apartment guy. All right, we went out and we pretended like we were in the market to rent an apartment, and, you know, of course Richard and I didn't go together dressed in our ties or anything, but, you know, either by phone or in person, we went out and pretended like we wanted to rent an apartment. And in so doing, we're able to find out what the competition did and what they offered and, you know, how they worked with us and all of that. So you can survey the competition in a variety of ways. One, you can actually shop the business like we did, or you can call them on the phone and you know, ask them questions and get prices and products and all that kind of thing. You can track their advertising. Had a client a while back that he was in the business of doing your yard, you know, lawn fertilizing and tree pruning and all that stuff. And he felt that he was at a competitive, he felt that he had a competitive disadvantage in terms of pricing, because his pricing was much higher than everybody else's. And you know, when we did the customer survey, we kind of found that out. People felt that his pricing was higher, and you know, a lot of them were mad at him, one thing or another. But then we started looking at the competition, and we discovered, you know, just by looking at the ads and the flyers and brochures that the other, you know, companies were sending out, that what they were actually packaging, or the way they were packaging their services, they weren't giving as many services and giving it at a lower price than what this guy was doing. All right, so he was actually giving them more services, but his prices were higher. So people were perceiving then, because of the way he was packaged, his prices were higher. So it was just a matter then of repackaging the way he sold his services to be more in line with the way all the other competitors were doing it, and then he became much more price competitive. But see, we wouldn't have known that had we not have looked at all the competitors and see how they had packaged their services and the prices that they were offering.
Could you have sent you brochures?
Yeah.
Or in the mail?
Yeah. Yeah. In this case, I just, you know, it was right in the spring time of year when all the companies are sending out all their direct mail pieces. I just got, you know, all the brochures that, you know, we'd got in the mail and you know, got it that way. All right. Oh, my house. Yeah, sent it to my house. And, you know, a lot of this, you're going to have to play like you're a customer, okay? I mean, to shop it or have somebody else shop it. You know, that's the next thing this apartment guy wants us to do. He wants to have, you know, one of our gals go shop his people at his apartments, you know, just to see how his people do, you know? And so a lot of things you can do there. So read their brochures, company reports, talk to their staff, talk to their customers. And again, this survey doesn't have to be totally scientific or totally statistically correct or anything else. But what you want to do is build, you know, a matrix, build an idea of what does each competitor have to offer in relation to yours. Now, this is just kind of a sample idea here. Don't pay a lot of attention to the information that's in here, because it doesn't really make a great deal of sense, because it was just, this thing was just designed to illustrate how this thing was set up. But what you want to do is compare, you know, the different aspects of the business, such as price, quality, service, selection, expertise, guarantee, so on, and then all the different competitors and what they would have to offer, you know, in relation to your client. So you could actually then construct a little matrix like this that would show how your client fits, or where the holes or where the niche might actually be, by, you know, discovering these different areas and looking at what each of them will provide. Okay, so does that make sense? Do you see how to do that, Pete? You okay with that? Ben, does that make sense to you?
Yes, fair. Yep.
Okay. Richard, anything else to add on competitive?
That's why it's number three, because if you had competitive first, you'd go in trying to find everything out about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, after the first two, you kind of have
to narrow it down to what
you're looking for to see if they do that.
Right.
Then, if you find one that you do it, that they do it, you're back to the drawing board. You got to go back and you got to find something else.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, see, like on this guarantee, you know, I mean, we're going to be looking at the competition and looking specifically to see if anybody offers a guarantee like that. Had we not done the customer survey and the focus group first, we wouldn't have really known that's what we were looking for. All kinds
that,
of
how many agents they had, how fast the survey, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So, see, it's brilliant the way this is all laid out. Richard, you did a great job. All right. Well, if you don't say it, not yourself, I guess somebody else. All right. Now, the final step is the USP write-up. Now, after completing all the first three, the focus group surveys and the competitive analysis, you should have a pretty good idea what the USP is. Now, it might be something that they already know. It could be something, you know, that you've just gone out and verified. And, you know, or it may be something totally brand new. But what you want to do now is to write that up and be able to present that in a way that will be useful to the client. Now, again, it's going to take some practice in doing this. We've got one consultant up in Ontario who he writes these things out in like 60, 70 pages long. Okay, now we're not suggesting that you do that. All right, what you want to do is write up a summary about what the USP is and what it means to the client. Now here are some samples. On page 17A, this is one that was done for the bowling center. And there is a couple of considerations here. First of all, there had to be two USPs here with this client, because the first USP was, why should I go bowling as opposed to playing golf or going to the movies or doing any other kind of activity? So the first USP then, or the first thing one to look at, was why go bowling? Now, here's the USP for why you should bowl. And on page 17A, it says you should bowl because it'll help you build friendships, feel better about yourself, year-round recreation, fun, relaxing, and affordable. Well, that's great. Okay, once now I have decided that I want to go bowling, why should I bowl at the Mountain View Bowling Center? Well, that's the next page, 17B. And the reason I should bowl there is because they have the open play club, they're convenient, they have year-round comfort, committed to the leagues, they have double value. So essentially, if you look at these write-ups here, guys, the headlines and the sub-headlines, that's the USP. Why bowl at the Mountain View Bowling Center? Because it's more convenient, it has year-round comfort, they're committed to the leagues, have largest open play club, etc. That forms the sub-headlines of the write-up. And then you go ahead and explain each one of them. Yeah.
So it's just a very orderly little write-up. Boom, sub-head, boom, and here's why the sub-head, the quantification.
Okay, so sub-head here is convenience. All right, well, why is Mountain View Bowling Center more convenient? Well, it's unique from other centers because of its convenient location, located in a major shopping center, right beside Interstate 215. Access to Mountain View is easy and quick. When you come bowling, you can also take care of other errands and needs that you have. See a movie, come over afterwards for a game of bowling. Okay? That's why it's more convenient. See how that works? Pretty neat. Okay? 17D, Western Wildlife Productions.
This isn't the actual USP, though. I mean, this is an expansion of that.
Well,
the USP write-up. Okay, so look in the write-up and you see the USP would be, why do you decide to bowl? Boom, build friendships, feel better, year-round recreation, and relaxing, affordable.
You focus on each of those in your advertising. Okay, now, remember, there's a difference between the USP and the slogan. Okay, the USP is, well, let's use an example of LensCrafter optical stores again. Okay, the USP at LensCrafter is that we have the lab located right there in the business. And consequently, you can get your prescriptions there. You come right over to the lab. We're going to grind the lenses and put the glasses together for you right there. And consequently, we can get them out for you real fast, usually in 60 minutes or less. So the USP is quick service. The validation as to why we do it is because the lab is right there on premises. Okay. The slogan then is LensCrafter Optical, glasses in about an hour. All right, so you see how it all works together, but the USP write-up is the USP and the validation, the quantification, the justification as to why that is the USP.
What would you think is a natural possible additional project from a USP write-up?
The brochure?
The brochure.
Yeah, you're essentially writing a brochure.
Yeah,
because you're writing a brochure, which many of these write-ups became. They either became a brochure or they became a little piece of cardstock that could be put in an envelope or got into a sales presentation.
Right.
Okay. So it all gets integrated in some way, but you can't integrate it unless you write it up.
Okay. Does that answer your question? Okay. All right, so here's some other sample write-ups. Here's the Western Wildlife Productions. Now, you were laughing at that one, Richard.
Yeah. This guy
produced hunting videos. He said, I have more on my video that deal with behavior. I have more that deals with techniques. So, three reasons. That was his write-up.
Okay, Baby Boutique. Now, see, this is an interesting one because this was more of an extra value than it was a uniqueness about the product or service, because she sold baby furniture. Everybody else sells baby furniture. There's not a lot of difference in baby furniture. It's all the same stuff, right? So what is the uniqueness? Well, the uniqueness is in the value that's created. That's why it's called an extra value proposition, as opposed to something unique that's inherent in the product itself. This is extra value, and the extra value here is, if you buy the furniture at the Baby Boutique, you're going to get free delivery, gift registry, preferred customer and frequent buyer card, customer base mailing list, and so on. Okay?
Same thing happened with moving in storage and how. Furniture. It's not a lot of room there. But he provided extra value in that he didn't charge to move a piano. He didn't charge to move the piano up the stairs. He didn't charge for overtime after 5 p.m. Okay? Well, you add all that up, quantify it, give it a figure. Now he has extra value proposition.
Okay. All right. Accurate weighing systems, page 17, 17H, 17I. Well, this is an old one, Bob's Togs. But anyway, you guys can utilize. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. Is it?
Yeah.
Clothing. Well, that's why he changed the name, though. What did he change it to?
It's not an American word. Nobody down here knows what that word is.
I didn't know. I knew the store because I knew what he sold clothing, but I didn't know what a tog was. So. Is that a word you use a lot?
Togs?
Yeah. Okay, so anyway, there are some sample write-ups there. And then...
They had a unique 20-point tax accounting system that could save your company thousands of dollars. And they had developed their own little system of tax accounting.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Now, beginning on page 18, here are some small brochures that were created for some of these companies as a result of the USP write-up. See, and as Richard said, this is the next natural step, and this can be an additional profit center for you. You see, once the USP is done, well, just like yesterday, when we went out and did the USP, finished up the USP project with the apartment community, the next step was they wanted to create a little brochure. They wanted to have a little handout piece that they would give to prospective tenants. Well, we said, listen, we can have that done for you. We can create that and do it. Of course, we would have then turned that into a profit center, okay? Which you can do. You can go out and contract out the services to have the graphic design done and the copy and printing and everything else. You can make a profit on that. It turned out in this case they had their son who was doing this or something, so they were going to have him create the brochure based on our USP write-up. But this can be another little profit center for you, and you want to look at that as such, because many times after you've completed the USP project, you've done the write-up, that's the next step. They want to have a brochure. They want to have a letter. They want to have an ad or something that's designed, and you can do that. Okay, you can turn that into a money-making idea for you. But anyway, here on page 18, A and B, here are some sample brochures. The tax proposal on 18C. Here's Mountain View Bowling Center. Let me look at that one for just a second on page 18E. Remember the USP write-up? We said there had to be two USPs, one on why go bowling, and then the other one on why bowl at Mountain View Bowling Lanes. Well, that's exactly what was done here. See, first section, first headline, why go bowling? Then here's all the reasons why you should bowl. Secondly, why bowl at Mountain View Bowling Center? And then here's all the reasons why. This was designed as just a card, front and back. That was the front, and that was the back, see? And, effective little sales piece.
You have it out of the calendar, the bowling center.
Yeah.
Put in a little card holder,
Away you go. Yeah. We'll talk about that in just a second. Okay. And then finally, here's this one for Juliet. Okay. Again, this was just a little card here, front and back, and you see the USP there. As we said, Juliet's will help you to look better, feel better, and save money. So the three concepts of the USP are right there. They form the headline and the subheadline. And then underneath is the quantification, or the justification as to why they help you to do that. All right? So, powerful, powerful stuff, and it's really an important step, and that's why it's project number one, because once you've determined that USP, then that really forms the foundation for everything else that you do, because that gets integrated into all the other marketing and sales presentations and letters and everything else that you do. So, any questions then about how to do that, how to implement the USP project, and what to do and how to do it?
We got a copy of the little booklet that you use when you go to do the USP session.
Yeah, I can give you one. Yeah, sure. Yeah, you bet. Yeah, in fact, we maybe ought to start including that in the package. But yeah, we'll give you that. Okay. All right. Any other questions about USP? Okay. Good.